Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June 16th of 2020. And I have to say, it's hard to believe that we are literally just over halfway to July. It's hard to believe. For me, yeah, it really is just hard to believe. It's like quicker than it would normally do. But so glad to have you tuning in, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing right now. And it's so great to be with you. It's so great to serve the Almighty God. Amen. We're real people, got real problems, but we serve a real God. And no matter what's going on, we can feel confident in that. And I was just thinking about that when I was getting ready to go live here a minute ago. And tonight, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the difference between authority and tyranny. And I'll do that in the next few minutes. And then also I want to talk to you about our Heavenly Father. I mean, with Father's Day coming up, to you about Heavenly Father. Tonight I'm going to talk about how fathers ought to be the leader of the home. Tomorrow night I'm going to talk to you about the Heavenly Father for our time in the Word. With Father's Day coming up, I figured, listeners, that it would be very, to be beyond appropriate. I want to be fitting. It was the time. Amen. Amen. Now, difference between authority and tyranny. In the Bible, requires us to submit to authority, to obey the laws of the land, to respect those who have authority over us. It's an obligation that we have as Christians to respect those in authority over us. Very true. It's in the Bible, the book of James. The New Testament, Proverbs, requires people to follow the laws of the land. Even Nebuchadnezzar issued decrees. That's what we're going to talk about, the difference between proper authority and tyranny. Because I need you, want your listeners to be able to understand the difference. Because to degrees, we are still dealing with medical tyranny right now, as we have been for the last 3 months in this country. So I'm going to talk to you about the difference. Authority figures you know, the police, the president, governor, your mayor, your prime minister, if you live in another country, and the different forms of governments used, your sheriff. Those systems were designed to protect and for law and order. The police were put there for law and order. So this whole idea of defund the police, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And let me be honest with you. There's some bad police officers, but most of them are very good. They have a difficult job. They require our prayer all the time. Those men and women in blue, they require our prayer all the time. Same with our men and women who served in the armed force, in the military. They require our prayer. Now, the Bible requires us to submit to the authorities. That's why we don't cheat on our taxes. You're not supposed to cheat on your taxes. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar. Give unto God what is God. What is God's. And, you know, there's other things that, the different ages that authorities put in place, you know, you're not supposed to do, you know, smoking all different ages or whatever, but you're supposed to respect the authorities. God has authority. There's also governance in the church. One of the reasons Jesus came is to establish governance in the church. That's what one of the reasons that he came. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. No, that's not Big Brother. Thus the government put aside by the church. That is what the way America has been being run the last 3 months. Less so now, thank you, Jesus, but from about March 13th through most of April, things were not looking good at all. Most of your governors unilaterally issued stay-at-home orders, shelter-in-place orders, similar orders, and shut down the economy over an unseen pathogen, coronavirus. And, of course, the coronavirus, though we know it's there, yeah. Oh, Miracle Man, you're making light of coronavirus. No, I'm not making light of the coronavirus. There is a coronavirus. It's out there. Yes, but there's right ways and wrong ways to deal with everything. And many of these governors, many of these mayors. Oh, and all these other countries where they had determined that church is not essential. Folks, the body of Christ is essential. The church is essential. Yes, It is. Very much essential. Jesus said, gather not, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Oh, even more as you see the day approaching. That means as you see the day, last days approaching, the coming approaching, you shouldn't be having less church. If anything, you should be having more church services more often. If your church was doing three services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or in my case, Thursday night, and then they midweek maybe go to home Bible studies and just plain old dump Sunday night service, maybe they should bring back midweek. Then when they see people are coming out and they're hungry, bring back Sunday night. And so I said, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. The reason I'm harping on the church when it comes to the whole tyranny thing is because many of you listening to the show, I hope many of you, most of you who are listening to the show, are people who are good Christians in the faith. And you, amen. But, and this whole thing, this whole coronavirus, this tyranny, to a degree, was totally, to a very big degree, it was aimed at as an attack on the church. Well, look at all the economic stuff. Yes, I know. I understand. But they shut down the body of Christ, the meeting together. Pastors were still doing services online. My pastor was doing services online. They're still available online. But in my church, we went back to church. In different states, they announced that churches can go back, and in some places, without restriction. My church on Thursday night went back to no distancing and no masks. You still got to get your temp checked, but other than that, we basically just went back to normal at my church. We were approved to go back to normal. Tyranny is when you just issue executive order after executive order after executive order after executive order and completely infringe on freedoms and liberties that are afforded by the Second Amendment. No, I mean by the Constitution of the United States. By the way, yes, in some places the Second Amendment was messed with when they shut down gun stores in some of these places. Also, the First Amendment with speech, of course you could still speak, but, you know, the right to peacefully assemble. For religious, that was messed with. Freedom of assembly for other purposes, that was messed with. And it was an attack on freedom and liberty in this country. That's what this tyranny, medical tyranny, over something that you can't smell, see, or hear. A virus. I knew that eventually there'd be some evil stuff coming. I just didn't know they'd use a virus to do it. By the way, a plandemic. All I did was put an L in pandemic, and that's what you get, a plandemic. This was planned. I'm not going to take the a bunch of airtime tonight to explain to you the stuff that I know and how far back this was starting to be planned. But I will say, look at Rodney Howard Brown. He made a stand for the Constitution months ago. He got arrested, got released from jail a half hour later. Hello! Sorry, listeners. They're just saying hi to someone coming in the house. Sorry about that, listeners. But anyhow, Dr. Rodney Brown, he got arrested after he made a stand. Other Christians turned him in. The Bible said that would happen in the last days. That's what that happened. He got arrested, was only in jail for a brief amount of time, was released 3 days later. Governor of Florida said churches were essential. Sheriff of Hillsborough County said churches were essential. He kept his church closed, though, because he was receiving death threats and other things that were happening. Shots were fired at his property and all that kind of stuff. But now there's a bunch of people in support of him. And I, Miracle Man, I am so glad that he stood up for the church. He stood up to this tyranny. Now he is standing up for those who can't stand, those who can't meet, can't have church in different states, but to a bigger degree, other countries now, where they cannot have church. They cannot meet. And they're going to see countries opening up. Time to open up, folks. And around here, yep, more stuff's opening back up. More people getting out and about. I was in the Detroit area mall near my mom's house today, and when I was there about a week and a half ago, only 1 in 4 stores were open, and that was it. Now, a little bit over 1 in 2 are open, and there was like five stores that we saw that are going to open up in the next 3 days that had signs indicating they were going to open up in the next 3 days. That others did not list dates, which means, Megan, I think that means that there's probably even more than just the five, but we don't know it. Is that what you're thinking? Because only five of them put signs up. A lot of places may not put up a sign that says when they're going to reopen. They just reopen. Yeah. So that tells me there's probably really more like 8, maybe 10 more reopenings to happen between tomorrow and Friday. Yep. So I think you're going to see enough, because there was several that we opened. I know of like five that we opened yesterday, and I'd say another four or five today. The one person we had talked to at Taco Bell had said that she knew of several that we opened today. But like I said, listeners, when I was getting some grub over there at the Taco Bell, the lady informed me that I asked her, you know, how it was going that day. She said, sir, it's the busiest I saw it since the lockdown. She said there's been some drop-off days where traffic may drop off from the day before. But other than that, basically, every day's been a bit of an increase. And that's good to see. And by the way, Megan, you would say only about 40% had a mask on?
Probably 30%.
Only 30%. It was 30-70 for no mask. 70% of them didn't. And last time it was a little more. I was like 55% had them. So listeners, even in the former hotspot of Detroit, why do you say former hotspot, Miracle Man? Because it's getting better. We're not having the amount of cases that we had. And a new thing just came out today that said that a particular drug in another country has been effective at helping those who got severely ill. That's a breakthrough. But what about one for those who aren't yet severely ill, other people from getting that way? You watch. They're going to come out with something soon. I think, I don't know when this will happen. I think at some point soon in the next few months or so, hopefully sooner, you're going to see them come out with some breakthroughs. And eventually, in the next few months or so, COVID-19 is going to be relevant for too much longer. That's the way I see it. Praise God. That's the way I see it. But you see, authority was put there by God. Proper use of authority. Proper use of authority was put there by God. Not all this tyrannical orders in cases, not even executive orders, not even made by the governor. The governor signed off on it, but the health director made the order. I'm looking at you, Amy Acton from Ohio, who, by the way, she just resigned her post last week. But going ahead, as you go into the second half of the year, I think you're going to see the economy continue to recover. And I also believe that in the next few months, we're going to begin to see starting stages of that great outpouring, the final great outpouring. I think you're going to see that start very soon. And I think the second half of 2020, even if it doesn't start that way necessarily, towards the end of it, I think it's going to be glorious. I really do. I feel it in my spirit. In my spirit. I'm not just sitting here being an optimist. I'm not doing that whole optimist thing. I go by what I see in my spirit. And I think it's going to be. Because the way I have heard it, that January to April was going to be really rough. Period of calamity and all that kind of stuff, you know, with all virus things. May to August was going to be a period of recovery. And then September to December was going to be a period of restitution, restoration, reconciliation. Either one of those three. And that would continue on into 2021. And in my spirit, that's what I think is going to take place. Amen. Now, we're here. Real quick here. A word from one of our sponsors, McDonald's, encourages you to, while you're out and about, doing whatever you're doing, going to work, going to get groceries, going to whatever you're doing, why not pick up yourself an ice cold Coca-Cola from McDonald's on a warm summer, on a nice warm summer day like this, as it's summertime. 21st is the solstice, so we can't deny anymore that summer is here. And so why not pick up yourself an ice cold Coca-Cola from your local McDonald's for the low price of just $1, any size. Price and participation may vary, tax extra. And while you're there, why not pick up yourself a delicious order of America's favorite fries? And so, being we talked about America and how we're doing the opening up, I'm going to pray for America again. Because as I said last night, listeners, we're going to be praying for America at some point every show until further notice. Because I just feel in my spirit that America needs our prayer. So we're going to do it. Heavenly Father, great nation, designed by you, Lord, to be a Christian nation. I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on it. We need your help, Lord God. Thank you that you're speaking to those in leadership to make the best decisions they can make regarding what's going on in this country right now with all the different issues. And I know that you can deal with them. They can make the best decisions. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to sing a couple songs. I am chosen, I am free, I am living for eternity. I'm free now forever. When the I approach your throne, there is I in Christ my own. I'm yours now forever. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back, Lord. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Everything. You took my sin and shame. You took my sin and shame away. A brand new day. I'm yours now forever. And quickly I approach your throne. I give my life in Christ my own. I'm yours now forever. Yes. And nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. No. My chain fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Now I'm free to live. I'm free to give. Free to be. I'm free to love you. Free to live. Free to be. Live. Free to be. I'm free to love you. Free to live. Free to give. Free to be. I'm free to love you, Lord. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Oh, we love you, Jesus. So grateful that I'm free to live for you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let our hearts fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you. We are here for you. Here you are, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are Almighty God. Everything is open. Everything is really you, our mighty God. Let our shout be your anthem. Let our heart with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you, Lord. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our mighty God. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy, God. You are mighty, God. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You Our mighty God. You are, hearts are open. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy, God. You are mighty God. Let your fire fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let your fire fall. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Our mighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you with praise. Let every heart adore. Let every song await. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you with praise. Thank you, Lord God. We welcome you in this place, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're just moving in our midst, Lord God. And we need your help. Thank you, Lord God, that you are always there for us. Whenever we need you and call on your name, you're always there for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for every need that every need would be met tonight. Every need represented. I don't know everything that these listeners need, but you do. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are moving mightily in these listeners tonight, that you're meeting their needs. You're meeting the needs of these listeners tonight. Whatever they need, you're providing. I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. And now, Lord, I take a minute and I think make my confession over the show that finances are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, and most importantly of all, I thank you that a huge harvest of souls are coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. 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 Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew 19. We're going to discuss we're going to focus tonight on where Jesus says, let the little children come to me, and how Jesus is, I'm going to talk to you tonight. I want to deal with you, though, on how Jesus wants us. Jesus wants the fathers, the leader of the home. Why is that so important? Like I said, chapter 19 of Matthew, NIV, we're going to start with verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he left Galilee, and he went into the region of Judea. side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that after the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, they'll even cleave. And the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, do not let man separate." "Why then," they asked, "why did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because their hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation that a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are meaningless because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have recognized marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Little children and Jesus, we're going to be focusing on this. "Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, 'The little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." Verse 16 now. "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which ones?' this man required. inquired. Jesus replied, 'Do not murder, don't commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and goods to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. And they asked, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered them, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, with the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much as you will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. Those who are last will be first. Back it up a bit to the story of the children coming up to Jesus. So these little children are brought to Jesus so that Jesus can touch them, lay his hands on them, minister to them. He didn't say how old they were. They could have been, 2, 3, 4, 6, maybe 12, 11. Maybe they were you. I don't know. But they were children. They wanted prayer. Of course, the disciples rebuked those who brought them. I don't mean of course like that. But that Jesus had to tell them, let the children come to me. Jesus will not hinder his children from coming to him. We are the children of God. The children of God. The children of God. You live on this earth, and you're a Christian. You're a child of God. Well, I'm 98. Doesn't matter. You're a child of the Most High God. And Jesus delights in his children. We're his children. We are his children. Just like how, in the eyes of our mothers and fathers, for as long as they're alive, we're considered our parents' children. We're still their kids even after our parents die. What I want to deal with you on tonight is how God designed it so that the fathers would be the leader of the home. The father is supposed to be the leader of the home. That doesn't just mean that even... And there's more to this idea than any idea you may have that maybe the husband and the wife, maybe the mom and the dad both work, but the dad maybe earns some more money. All that would have to deal with is the finances. Who leads that house? Who determines what is and isn't allowed in that house? Who sets the standards? Who is the ultimate leader of that family, that household, that family unit? And I'm not just talking about the four walls of your house either. I'm talking about when you're out as a family. I'm talking about your kids even when they're not the house and they're at school. You're still building the name of your family. But God designed it so that the father would be the man of the house, the leader of that family unit, the leader of those kids. The wife is to submit to the husband. Husbands are to, or listen to what the wives had to say. Husbands are still supposed to be the leader. And fathers are to be the leader of that family. Oh, and some of you young people who think your dad's your pal, he's just like you. Well, two guys loving to hunt and fish. Two guys, you know, the father and son going hunting and fishing and camping together. And going on a gator ride or going on a boat ride or doing stuff like that outside. Or doing stuff together. Those kind of activities, you know, team building, that's all good. But fathers are supposed to be more than just that. And my father, the one who's my father, he is quite a bit younger than my mom. I'll just leave it at that. But he's quite a bit younger than my mom. And when you get my dad, I was 16. He was months from turning 30. Yes, there were things we disagreed on, and that you know, sons and dads always have that. But generally, I respected that he was my father, not my pal. My father. Your father is supposed to be the man of the house. If you live with your parents, your father is supposed to be the man of that house. Young people, if there's youth listening to me or some of your younger kids or some of you college students that are home with your parents right now and you're living in your parents' basement, your dad's still the man of the house. He's supposed to be. The man is supposed to be the leader of the house. And if he's not, if he's kind of slacking, may he get it in order the way God meant it to be. And I'm not going to say moms don't play an important part. Mothers are still very important, very important. And they're meant to be protectors. They're meant to be. Mothers have roles. Fathers have roles. But fathers should not just be the guy to say, honey, why don't you take the kids to school? And you take the kids to Sunday school. You take the kids. You deal with this problem with our teenager. You, I got to hunt. I got to fish. I got to go put meat on the table. And I'm the big breadwinner around here. I'm not saying that's how my family works. I'm just using it as an example. And then he says, but honey, why don't you do all that? I got to work. And I love my children, but I want you to deal with all this stuff. No. Mothers and fathers are supposed to be in it together. And even when your children become adults, the Bible requires us to honor our mother and our father. There are natural fathers, there are spiritual fathers, and then there's the heavenly father. Natural father would be my dad right now. My father, my dad. He's my natural father. And I know my mom married him later, but he's my father now. I bear his last name. It could be your godfather. Maybe. But really, that's supposed to be your pastor. Dr. Mark T. Buckley. I see him as a spiritual pastor. I see him as a spiritual father. And he's helped me, loved me, and guided me through all these years and all the different times I've talked to him. And I know he's busy, so whenever I talk to him, it's extremely brief. But still, he's imparted a lot of things through his sermons. And even when I used to listen to him on my cassettes when I was younger, he was imparting things to me. You won't know all the cassettes of him I listened to. And many of these years, I didn't have a dad. Back in like the early 2000s, not until 2005, but he was imparting things to me. And I was learning things from him. Amen. And he's increased my life a lot. And the Heavenly Father is our Father in heaven. And that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. But Jesus told his disciples, don't keep these little children away from me. Let them come to me. I'm going to lay my hands on them. Basically says, I'm the Heavenly Father. I'm going to lay my hands on these kids. I'm going to anoint these kids. And these kids, most of them came with their mom and dad. Maybe some with just mommy. Maybe others with just dada. Maybe grandpa, grandma. But they were coming up to him to be ministered to. But the disciples wanted to just sit there and be like, stop, 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 stop. But then he said, don't hinder them. They knew who Jesus was. And may we have that heart towards Jesus that we have had when we were little. Pray that we would all have that. Because in the eyes of God, we are all His children. Just like how in the eyes of our natural father and our mother, we're still I'm an adult, but in the eyes of my mother and father, I am their son. I am their child. I am my mom's oldest birth son. And yeah, an adult son. If you're a male, you're a son when you were born, and you were a son when you take your last breath. If you're 100 and your mom died 30 years before that, you're their son. Or if you're their daughter, you're a female, their daughter. You see, the idea of the family unit was designed by God. God designed it. And God wants the father to be the leader of the home. Unfortunately, it's been this way for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of daddies are weak. No, not my dad. But there's fathers out there who could do a better job of really leading their household and not just sitting there and be the pail to the kids. I mean, the pail to those sons and those daughters. And I told you what I meant by that. I mean, you know, where the dad doesn't discipline necessarily. It's just the mom who does that. The dad just takes the son to play ping pong with him, go fishing, go hunting, go to the ball game. Go to the movies, you know, go to places where they would go. Or with the daughter, go to wherever he'd want to take her, you know, go take her to the mall to go shopping with your daughter, even though many of you guys, I'll leave that alone. Or that daddy-daughter date night. A lot of that character building stuff is, you know, a lot of it's good stuff. But ultimately, the dad's supposed to be the leader of that household. Moms are important, too. They are. But ultimately, these fathers, you're supposed to be the one to step in and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's very clear. Very clear. My dad, he was very clear. Riv, Ray, Julie. I mean, my mom, but, you know. I said, in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to allow these evil spirits in this house. And we're not going to, and we're not going to, and we're not going to. The Spirit of God is the one Spirit allowed here. And he's been a great leader. I'm not trying to tell you everything that how my parents do things and all that. Now that just that my dad is a very good example of what a leading father, a father who is the leader of his home, works. And a spiritual leader of that house, how it works. And the leader, of course, the spiritual leader of that house should be the man of God of that house. He should be the man of God of that house. Even if it's just you got a wife, sir, you should still be the man of God of that house. Amen. Amen. And well, I really want my husband to be a great example for my children, but he doesn't. I take the kids to church, but he won't come. Why? Don't be a double agent. Stand for what you believe in. You believe in church attendance? Go to church when the doors are open. Amen. Spiritual leader that you're supposed to be of that house, Father. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Powerful verse that I was just thinking about. And our dads are supposed to be spiritual leaders, not just to have stuff in common with your kids. Oh, you and your daughter have the same type of phone. You two have texting competitions to see who can text faster, and you guys like the same kind of stuff from Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A, but you guys don't know. But you, Father, you don't know the way you're really supposed to raise that child. That would be a problem. The true man of God raises his children according to the word of God. And supposed to talk with the word of God when they go for a walk and when they go to bed. And there's an another time. Too, but it's in Proverbs. I've showed that here before, and obviously, if you have a God-led household, the foundation is based on the Word of God. That doesn't mean that when you're at home, all it is church. No. It's not. No. You'll be brought up in the things of God, and you're leading your children according to the ways of God, so that you have a good, godly home. And that you, Father, you, this mother, you have set the parameters. You know, for your children. And by the way, father, mother, you guys should, you know, Father, you're the leader of that house, and you set the parameters. And have you, by all means, if you set these rules, keep them yourself. Don't say, "Oh, my kids, they can't do this." And I know I shouldn't do this thing either. You know, skip church or whatever it is, or I shouldn't, you know, use these words or whatever. I'm not going to allow them to do it. If they do it, they'll get disciplined. But I myself, I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm gonna do it right now. Right. And then you do it. What kind of example does that set? Set a good biblical example. Your children are looking up to you. Children act like what they see. They act like what they see their parents do. When kids see their parents doing one thing, when kids see their parents doing something, they're apt to do that thing. That's why it's so important that you set a good example for your children. Well, I believe in prayer. Pray! I believe in reading the Bible. Not just at church, either. Well, I believe in tithes. Tithes! Well, you know, lead by example. Don't just sit there in your house and talk the talk and then do otherwise. Walk the walk. Amen. I know I'm helping some people tonight because I feel like some people need it. And you know, the way I see it, you know, the man really is. He's supposed to be the leader of the house. He really is. Something that was this made up thing. Nope. God designed it this way. Not man, God. And that's why we have to, that's why, like I said, the Father is supposed to be the leader of that house and not just be wishy-washy. Supposed to be the leader of that thing and lead as a Christian godly example for not just his children, but for those around him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And I really hope that I helped some people tonight. And I just really hope that this really ministered to some people tonight. That's what a father, natural father, is supposed to be for his children. He's supposed to be the leader of his home. Spiritual things. He's supposed to be a comforter. He's supposed to be there for his children. He's supposed to be the one who lays down the ground rules for that house. Amen. And praise God. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for fathers. You designed them. You designed, Lord God, you designed that we would have fathers and mothers, and they would raise us up in the ways of God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would bless the fathers with Father's Day coming up. Thank you that these fathers would be the leaders of the house that you call them to be. And I give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Real quick on sports. There's talk that the MLB season could be 72 games, could start at some point later in July without fans. But players, in the talks, players would get 80% of their base salary. The players, apparently, they won't accept anything less than 100%. So the question then becomes, do they even have a season or not? There were baseball seasons during both World Wars. There was a baseball season in the midst of the previous pandemic in the 1900s. So I don't understand why there wouldn't be one now, even without fans in the ballpark. But who knows? To wait and see. All right. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.